Good evening, everybody. Welcome to your Friday Night Live on the 16th of May, 2025. And I hope you're having a great evening and happy to get your questions, comments, issues, challenges, problems. I did try Doom the Dark Ages. Maybe I'll do a wee bit of a live stream this weekend and you can see my 58-year-old teenage Twitch muscles in full display and array. So I'm happy to try that if people are interested. And of course, there's been a lot that's been going on in the world over the last couple of days, but I am here for you. I am here for you. Whatever you want to talk about, I am happy to facilitate. I did a pretty good wee speech today about love and how I developed my theories and philosophies of love. And then I did. It was going to be a private call-in show, but the guy decided to make it a public call-in show about how to overcome, it's a real problem. It's a real problem, particularly for young men who grew up not close to their fathers. The challenge and the problem is, and let me know if you have any of these sorts of issues or problems. The issues or the problems are, how coachable are you if you are not close to your father? In particular, it could be other things. That's one of the most typical ones is if you're not close to your father, how coachable are you? Do you resist coaching because this guy has, fairly substantial issues with regards to getting ahead in his career and so on, and I tried to give him some coaching, and I got the, yeah, but, it's not going to work because. Now, obviously, I'm not omniscient, but I have created and run a not insignificant number of successful businesses, and I'm in my late 50s. This guy is 23, and he's telling me what will and won't work in the business world, which, of course, he's perfectly free to do, but none of his pushback really made any sense from a logical standpoint, even by his own admission. So, are you hostile to being coached? And, of course, one of the ways in which this shows up is in the actual act of being coached in sports. Are you good at being coached in sports? All right, let's see here. Oh, yes. Sorry, let me get to your... Steve says, thanks for all your great work as always, Steph. Thank you for your tip. Can't make the live stream at the moment due to a time zone change, but wanted to ask if you have ever considered supporting some kind of matchmaking facility through free domain. A lot of your callers, listeners seem to struggle with finding other philosophically minded free domain types among the normies and can't think of many better ways of spreading UPP and peaceful parenting than through the facilitating of virtuous partnerships. Yeah, there is. Gosh, does anyone remember what it's called? But somebody did put together a dating site for free domain listeners. Of course, I can't recommend it or not recommend it. I haven't really looked at it, but it's a thing. Sapanta says, you guys aren't going to believe this. I was walking on a beach earlier today, and look at the seashell formation I found. This is off the Comey's Instagram thing, right? Peaceful parenting. Yes, that's right. What does it say underneath that? I think that's just shells. Yeah. Yeah, Comey did, what, 86? Donald Trump? Was it 86, 46, 47? Yeah, 86, 47. 86 means to take out or to eliminate. Some people mean, of course, some people will say, oh, no, it's peaceful. It's just the transfer of power. Maybe it's voting him out or maybe it's impeachment or some other sort of legal process. But, it's pretty gross. It's pretty gross. And of course, he said, oh, no, I had no idea. Oh, dimple cheeks, I had no idea. Not even a smidge. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate your support. Oh, say, can you see? All right, so let me get back to your questions and comments. Hey, Steph, did you see Coinbase outsource their IT to the third world to save money? Those workers don't seem so cheap now. Did they? Yeah, did they? I don't know about that. But, I mean, it is a weak link in all online coin or crypto things, or is that somebody can try and talk their way into, oh, I lost my phone, here's my new number, and then you get your 2FA, goes to the new number, and someone gets in, and it's bad all around. And of course, I think that the government as a whole requires online crypto trading companies to store a lot of customer information based upon, you know, money laundering questions or issues or criminal questions or issues. So there's a lot more there than would be normally in the free market. So, yeah, I've read some reports that the data was compromised as of January. And they've, you know, lost a lot more than the 20 mil. So the hackers demanded 20 million. And the head of Coinbase, is it Coinbase? The head of Coinbase said, no, we're going to take 20 million and we are going to give it to whoever gets these guys arrested, whoever gives us the information that is enough to get these guys arrested. Now, I assume that they're pretty insular. Maybe there's a couple of guys working on this. Maybe they'll turn on each other, right? And even if one guy turns on another guy or one guy turns, let's say there's five guys, right? It's 20 million they're hoping to make. Each one gets 4 million. But if you turn on your, you make a deal, you turn people in, maybe you serve a year or two in jail, but then you get the 20 mil. So I assume that his goal is to have the criminals turning on each other. So Coinbase themselves said the hack was caused on the government side. Is that right? What does that mean, the government side? What does that mean? Just having a look here, I have not heard that aspect of it. This is from yesterday. From bleepingcomputer.com, Coinbase data breach exposes customer info and government IDs. Coinbase, a cryptocurrency exchange with over 100 million customers, has disclosed that cyber criminals working with rogue support agents stole customer data and demanded 20 mil ransom not to publish the stolen information. The company said it would not pay the ransom, but would establish a 20 million reward fund for any leads that could help find the attackers who coordinated this attack. According to Coinbase, the attackers obtained this customer data with the help of contractors or support staff outside the U.S. who were paid to access internal systems. Coinbase fired the insiders after they were detected while accused accessing systems without authorization, but not before they exfiltrated information from those devices. So why would they just fire these people? Why wouldn't they charge them? Well, I guess if it's another country and you know, whatever, right? They maybe don't have that kind of direct control over what happens. Expected losses to reach up to $400 million, according to this article. Yeah, well, this idea, you talk to anyone who's bought a new house over the last 10 or 20 years in certain places. Just talk to them and see what it's been like for them with this new house. What has it been like in terms of build quality? What has it been like in terms of support? What has it been like in terms of the warranty and so on? It's crazy. It is not a good deal. It's something that a guy I knew when I was poor said that his parents said, we're too poor to buy cheap things. You got to buy the best because it's got to last and last and last, right? And yeah, a lot of this stuff has really not worked out and doesn't work out. And I think we all recognize this. Like, I had to send something off to be repaired, and I was like 50-50 that it would come back fixed. That's my expectation. At best, maybe you're going to get 50-50. That's my guesstimate these days. And it actually was repaired, at least so far, right? But they said it was this, and then they had to do that, which meant it wasn't this, but whatever, it doesn't really matter. It's working now, but yeah, it doesn't, my expectation is things generally aren't going to get fixed and aren't going to work. This, the Supreme Court, this blocking deportations under the Alien Enemies Act, the court has not found it unconstitutional as far as I understand it. It's just that they delivered a blow based upon the lack of notice, 24 hours, afforded by the administration. It did not rule on the legality of the use of the Alien Enemies Act. On the other hand, for the first time ever, Moody's has downgraded the United States credit rating due to an increase in government debt. And Simply Bitcoin is reporting that Bloomberg Terminal has switched Bitcoin price notation from 100,000 to 0.1 million. Bitcoin has now spent an entire week above 100,000 US for the first time ever, 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 ever. And with regards to Bitcoin versus the US dollar, Unusual Whales reports on X, a US household now needs to earn $114,000 annually to afford a median-priced home. That's up 70.1% from $67,000 just 6 years ago, per Realtor.com. Do you see the pace of this inflation? I'm not even convinced Bitcoin's going up in value. I just think that the dollar is dropping. Bitwise CIO Matt Hugan says, 95% of all Bitcoin is already owned and 95% of investable money doesn't own any Bitcoin. Nice. Nice. Rumble, a great platform, of course. We're broadcasting on Rumble Studio here. Rumble to launch Bitcoin payments to their 50 million active users. It's a big deal. And I'd like to thank Rumble for the platform, and I'd like to thank them for their commitment to Bitcoin as a whole. Human sperm cells. Okay, that's a bit of a switch here. Human sperm cells contain about 37.5 megabytes of data each. The average semen load contains nearly 16 terabytes of data. So, put that in your pipe and smoke it. All right. Gold is a $22 trillion asset, and Bitcoin is a $2 trillion asset. It looks like Bitcoin is about to make the next leg to 130K to 150K. At that point, we are in price discovery. That's Bitcoin Archive, referencing Mike Novogratz. This is not any recommendation from me to buy or sell. I just think it's interesting. Don't take investment advice. Michael Burry, this is from Bar Chart on X. Michael Burry, the man who predicted 20 of the last two market sell-offs, dumped his entire stock portfolio except for one, Estee Lauder. Now, why do you think, we obviously don't know, why do you think an investor would sell everything except Estee Lauder? I obviously don't know. I have a theory. I don't know. But I have a theory. What's your theory? Why do you think that might be the case? The guy who said it was the government side, the hack was caused on the government side, he says he misread it. So yeah, I didn't think that was the case. I appreciate that update. Somebody says, even the brand new multi-million-dollar mansions that I'm working on are cutting stupid corners. It's ridiculous. Yes, it is. Thank you, Jimmy. Jimmy, are you Jimmy Ray? New trucks under 5 years old on its third transmission. CRT transmissions are nightmares across many car companies. Quality is not job number one. Not sure it's on the list. Yeah. Women need more makeup in a recession. Yeah, I think that's right. It is a recession proof. When the economy hits hard times, I mean, there's a very bitter, I'm not saying I agree with it, but it's a very bitter meme about, you know, what women think they'll do when civilization collapses, and it's like Katniss from the Hunger Games, you know, flying through trees and shooting arrows And that's what they think they do, what they'll actually do, and it's a bunch of prostitutes on a street corner. I don't agree with that. It's kind of bitter, but I kind of get the sentiment. But when the economy gets worse, women aim to become more attractive. So it is recession proof. Hey, Sode, nice to see you. Hi, Steph. I want to ask about your thoughts on mental asylums. You did a very thorough presentation a few years ago on mental health, and it was excellent. Thank you. You shared about how and why mental asylums disappeared. What are your thoughts on them coming back? And if there is a philosophical justification for them, or is it more of a moral issue, or even a financial or government issue, or all of the above? Well, 1 to 10, I submit to the collective wisdom of the free domain brain. Give me a 1 to 10. How hard should I go in answering this question? 1 to 10. And I know a lot of you reflex 10. That's fine. I just want to know how hard I should go on this. I must know what your thoughts are. 100. You have one job. To stay in the scale I propose. I actually don't have that job at all. I mean, I rarely do. So why should you? Why? All right. Well, I will tell you what I think about asylums. And I know a little bit about this. I've never been in an asylum other than to visit people, my mother and so on. But I have done a fair amount of research on them. I did, of course, I've had a bunch of shows on mental health, at least my sort of philosophical approach to mental health as a whole. And I did an entire show on how the hard leftists shut down mental asylums in order to destabilize the community. All right, let me ask you this. Let me start off with a question. If you know someone who's gone mad, did they ever become sane again? If you know someone who's gone mad, did they ever come sane? I remember there was a Three Swans, I think it was called. Let me just double check that. It was a book on China. Wild Swans, Three Daughters of China. Yeah, Wild Swans. Oh gosh, how old is that? How old is that book? Published in 1991, yeah, by Yung Chang. Yeah, Wild Swans, Three Daughters of China. And I remember very clearly reading this book when it came out, and it had quite an impact on me. It's been translated into 37 languages and sold over 13 million copies. And I remember one of the stories is that her father went mad. I can't remember if he was drugged or something like that. But, oh yeah, he was tortured and all of that. And then her father went mad. And then her father became sane again. Let me just see here. I obviously can't get it in the book. Chang's father became a target for the Red Guards when he mildly but openly criticized Mao due to the suffering caused to the Chinese people by the Cultural Revolution. Chang's parents were labeled as capitalist rotors and made subjects of public struggle sessions and torture. Chang recalls that her father deteriorated physically and mentally until his eventual death. Her father's treatment prompted Chang's previous doubts about Mao to come to the fore. Yeah. And I remember he went mad, I think, from torture and other sorts of psychological punishments. And then, if I remember rightly, he became sane again. Yeah, no, never sane again. I obviously I don't know that anybody really knows the ideology of the progress of madness. But I can't remember a person who went mad who then went unmad. I mean, I'm sure it could happen, right? And this is absolutely anecdotal. All right, percent of insane, this is probably a real scramble here, who regained their sanity. Yeah, I don't think it's been well studied. At least, I mean, I've read, I don't even know how many books on this kind of stuff, and I've never, what is the recovery? All right, let's see here. There is no specific percentage available for how many individuals diagnosed as insane regained their sanity. Can vary widely, blah, blah, blah. All right, let me just try. Let's grok it. Let's see. So there's a general severe mental illness. A 2022 study reported that 67% of people with any mental illness, including severe forms, met criteria for symptomatic recovery, meaning they no longer had diagnostic symptoms. However, only about 10% of those with a history of mental illness met strict thriving criteria, high well-being, low disability, and no symptoms. Okay. I think depression can be remediated. So schizophrenia and psychotic disorders study suggested about 20 to 33% of people with schizophrenia achieve significant symptom reduction or remission with treatment, often involving antipsychotics and psychosocial support. A 2018 study found that one-third of all individuals with serious mental illness, including schizophrenia, reported remission for at least 12 months. However, full functional recovery, returning to work or independent living, is less common, with estimates about 10 to 20%. Long-term outcomes improve with early intervention and consistent care. All right. I certainly have not seen it. Thank you, C2. Yeah, I have not seen... I mean, I grew up with a not insignificant number of crazy people around. And none of them got better that I can recall. None of them got better. My father had his mental health challenges, to my knowledge, really never, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know him well enough to give any, but certainly never got better to the point where we had, like, he reconciled with me or apologized or took responsibility or ownership or anything like that. My mother, same. So when you look at mentally ill people, I mean, the question is why, and you know, we sort of going into the why is not the central question. I think that so it has, which is when people go nuts, are they better in the community or are they better in an institution? Now, of course, the goal has been to get them into the community since the 60s, and I got endless letters when I put out my show on how asylums turfed everyone out into the street about, you know, just disaster and a mess and a complicated, you end up with homelessness, drug use, criminality, just a whole bunch of non-functional people being put out into society as a whole. That's bad for society as a whole. I also get that, of course, mental health and insanity is weaponized a lot of times. I mean, we all know how it worked in Soviet Russia, which is that, well, Soviet Russian system is perfect. Therefore, anybody who's not happy or who criticizes it is mentally ill. And you put them in an asylum and you give them, like, I don't know, horse tranquilizers and stuff like that. So that stuff's very political and pretty negative. So I'm sure you also know one of the reasons why the sort of psychotropic medical model of psychiatry got to the forefront was there was a, I think it was a reporter who basically said, I hear the words bang and thud, and then they were institutionalized, and it took them quite a long time to get out, and nobody noticed that they were sane. Like, once they got into the institution, they just acted completely normally and so on. And that was very humiliating to the psychiatric profession. So then I think the leader of the asylum or the institution said, okay, come on, send me, I'll find them. Send me these people, I'll find them. And then he said, okay, it's these whatever number of people. And it turns out that nobody was sent. So he got that wrong too. So that was pretty bad. So when people lose their minds as a whole, again, we're talking about a free society. We're talking about, you know, where the incentives are balanced and things aren't crazy and out of whack and political and right. So we're talking a sort of free society, and I write about this in my novel, The Future, which if you haven't read, you should read or listen to. It's a great, great book. You can get it at freedomain.com/books. It's free, and you should really check it out. Just throw it on. It'll grab you. It's a great book. Now, people who are unstable and unbalanced and can't reason and can't control their own emotions should not be in society. They should not be in society. They're a danger to themselves and others. They frighten children. They destabilize things as a whole, and they don't get the care that they need in general. So turfing people out from the institutions where they're relatively protected and they have some relative stability, they have some standard of care, they have some community. And of course, One Flew Over the Cuckoo Nest by Ken Casey, and of course the film with Louise Fletcher and Jack Nicholson was also had a big influence on this as well. And the people who are crazy should not be in society, should not be roaming around. They can't manage it, they can't handle it, they can't be productive, they can't contribute, they can't add to society. And again, I mean, we're talking about a free society, not the society that is currently exists where mental health is a heavily politicized issue. But let me just get back to your question and make sure that I answer it. Yes, there is a philosophical justification for them, which is it is cruel to put people who can't think in a society based almost entirely on cognition, right? In the past, of course, I mean, some people who had real mania or OCD or some sort of fixation, they might go into the priesthood or the nunnery or something like that. So there was a place for them. But yeah, it is not good for society to have crazy people roaming around. It's alarming to children. I mean, I'm sure we've all seen this as a whole. It's one of the reasons why people go into these concentric rings of get away from the inner city suburbs, right? It's that I'm sure we've all had the situation where we have seen someone be kind of scary and alarming, and you don't know how it's going to go. you don't know how it's going to go. I remember, and I mentioned this years ago on the show, I remember being maybe 12 or 13, and I was I had a bird, and it was a wounded bird that I was sort of feeding and bringing back to health. And I was on the bus with it. I was taking it to a friend of mine who had some expertise in how to feed these birds. And there was this crazy guy who was interrogating me about the bird. And it was scary. You know, he was leaning over, long tusk-like yellow teeth and roomy eyes and bad beard. And it was just, it was not good. And it was not fun. It was not nice. It was not positive. And I remember somebody finally did say to me, just, you have to stop talking to him. Like, just, you have to, like, stop engaging with him and stop talking to him. Which was, you know, not the worst advice as a whole, but that's kind of alarming. Now, of course, I'm not saying, well, I was alarmed as a kid, and therefore people should be locked up and so on. I mean, obviously, there should be a whole process and so on, and, you know, well, you can work towards rehabilitation and this, that, and the other. But, you know, people, when they're, whether it's psychological or organic or something, when things really go wrong with their brain, I don't see how it's productive or helpful to have them roaming around in society. I think that asylums should come back, and I think that people who can't control their emotions, can't control their thoughts, can't control their responses, and are volatile and dangerous and sometimes aggressive and chaotic and, you know, can't pay the rent on time and can't pay their bills. And look, crazy people, like, let me just give you an example. I'll give you an example, and I won't get into details about who it is, but I'll give you an example. Okay, crazy people, they don't go to the dentist. Right? They don't tend to work out. They don't tend to eat well. I mean, if they're out there on their own recognizance, they tend to do significant damage to their health as a whole. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, crazy people don't take care of themselves. And then what? Right? Whereas, of course, if they're in an institution, then they can get the dental care they need, they can meet with nutritionists, they can get healthier food, right? So you don't have people living on, you know, cigarettes and Nescafe powdered coffee and not going to the dentist, not exercising, and all of the attendant health problems that come out of that. People break their brains through addiction all the time. It's horrible. I mean, this is why I've been telling people for 20 years, do not go anywhere near weed, modern drugs as a whole. I mean, it's really, really, really dangerous. Don't do it. You know, one of these things can fry your mind. So they can't take care of themselves. They frighten people. They're chaotic. They can be dangerous. And I get the majority of people who are crazy are not violent or dangerous, but people who can't control their emotions can escalate very quickly when contradicted. Have you ever known or met people like this? Like they're very volatile. They can't control their emotions. And if you contradict them, they tend to get quite aggressive and volatile. It's a bad scene. It's a bad scene. And you need experts. You need experts. What's the line delineating sanity and insanity anyway? the abstract addicts. The addicts of abstractions. You know, we're you know, trying to solve some practical problems here. And you're like, yes, but how can I split hairs and derail the conversation? Sorry, I'm just pointing it out, right? I mean, let's just talk about the extremes, right? The people who can function on their own, make decent decisions, and go to the dentist, eat well, they can pay their bills, like people who can function, and people who can't function. They can't function. They're volatile. They can't sleep. They're manic. They make bad decisions. They can't be contradicted. They can't control their emotions. They can't reason through things. Say, but what is the exact line? It's like, come on, man. It's like we're trying to solve a health issue and you're like, well, what is the delineation between health and unhealth? doesn't add anything to the convo, man. And I get that that's an important question, but just not in practical terms of sorting things out. We have seen asylums not work under government control and probate control. Which do you believe should be the ones to facilitate these asylums? Well, it should be a voluntary, what I call DROs or dispute resolution organizations. You know, we shouldn't... We, of course... Oh, private. Sorry. Private control. I mean, private control often was under the auspices of the church, which is not philosophical. I don't know that we've had, you know, truly rational, science-based private institutions for mental health. Maybe we have, but maybe. I don't think we've had enough empirical information from truly rational institutions to know how it would work in a free society. I don't think so. So we have to look at this theoretically. I don't think we have empirical facts to compare this to as a whole. All right, so let me just get back to your questions. What are your thoughts on taking medication for anxiety? I have a small business and sometimes it's really stressful. I mean, I can't give you any advice on taking medications at all. I mean, I obviously can. I mean, I'm a philosopher. I'm not a doctor or psychiatrist, and I haven't evaluated you, even if I was, right? Those things, I haven't evaluated you. So I can't give you any advice on taking or not taking medications for anxiety. All right. Let's get back to questions, comments, issues, challenges. And of course, the people, and I talk about this. Let me see if I can, I'm just going to see if I can get the show. James has the night off. He cannot help us. We are beyond the range of James. Ooh, that's a lot. Hey, why is it not sorting? There we go. Yeah, I don't think I'll be able to find it. But some good shows. Let's see here. Don't arrange to have me send to no asylum. Truth About Sadism was a good show. Good shows, man. Yeah, I don't, if anyone can find it, it's the one where I did about how they shut down institutions and turf the people out into the street. The glory hole of societal collapse. Pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah, all right. So I will have to put that in the show notes afterwards. I can very easily go down the rabbit hole of trying to find things. All right, let me just get back here. You did one episode that was about 3 hours long. It was excellent. The Truth About Mental Health. Yeah. Yeah, I can search for that. But this is another one where it was basically the history of how asylums were shut down and the inhabitants of those asylums were basically just turfed out into society with very little support. And it was pretty much a disaster. I think. I mean, you could make the case, right? All right. Let me get back to my bookie bookmarks. The most dangerous jobs. What do you think? Throw me a couple of jobs that you think. Oh, yeah, yeah. Somebody says, I got through the part where David visited the hospital where the mother and her kids were being treated. Powerful stuff in the future novel. Very heartbreaking stuff. Yeah, I mean, that's... Yeah, logging, that's right. Key logging. Yeah, logging. Logging is pretty bad. Logging workers, the fatality rate, fatal injury rate per 100,000 workers is 82.2, and it's 96% men. Number two is fishing and hunting, 75.2, 99% men. Roofers, 59, 97.1. Aircraft pilots, 48.1% male, 94.7. Iron and steel workers, 36.1. Fatal injury rate per 100,000, 99% male. Truck drivers, 28.8, 92.1% male. Refuse and recycling collectors, 27.9. Injury rate, 87.9% male. Underground mining workers, 26.7, 99% male. Construction, 22.9, 90% male. Electrical power line workers, 22. Fatal injury rate per 100,000 workers, 99.3% male. It's all so tiresome. You know, just hearing women complain about their don't break my nails, air-conditioned HR, comfy chair jobs. That's crazy. Yeah, the Joker movie, I think, did that as a whole. All right, let's see here. What else do I have for you? There's a trucker convoy protesting corruption and government abuse in Quebec. Quite interesting. Hopefully they'll get to keep their bank accounts. This is always cheery. This is always cheery. Facts and information. Chris Williamson writes on X, adolescents with an IQ of 130 were 3 to 5 times less likely to have had intercourse than those with average IQs. Boys with an IQ that would qualify for intellectual disability, an IQ of 60, were still more likely to have had sex than those with a very high IQ of 130. So, you know how not all women... Not all women. But women say, oh, you know, men are just, they're just too intimidated by my intelligence. And, you know, men just want a bimbo. They just want a dumb girl and all of that. Women in general prefer average to lower intelligence. It's all just projection. It's all just projection. So sad. This woman writes, a dude DM'd me offering $2,000 a week for being my sugar daddy. Obviously, I immediately showed my husband the messages. I look forward to hearing his counteroffer. Nice. Yeah, yeah. Anytime someone prompts me to complain about my comfy office job where I program computers, I point out that I enjoy it much more than working in the cold or hot on a construction site, even if now I have to work out. Yeah, but of course, a lot of the manual labor jobs are pretty harsh on the body, right? They're pretty negative on the body. All right, hit me with a why if you'd like to talk about something COVID-related, or, of course, you can throw your questions or issues on other things if you want me to talk about something else. Hit me with a why if you'd like to talk about something COVID-related. I still find it, personally, I still find it quite fascinating. the whole COVID thing. My mind returns to it at least once every day or two. So, let's see here. Software engineer lost his 150K a year job to AI. He's been rejected from 800 jobs and forced to DoorDash and live in a trailer to make ends meet. Yeah. Yeah. AI and humanoid robots are only just beginning to make their impact known. Only just beginning. It's going to be absolutely wild how different things are going to be. It's unimaginable. Ah, you found it. Okay, let me go there. What's it called? The destruction of America's mental health care system. Thank you. Yes, the destruction of America's mental health care system. I should probably remaster that, get a transcript, because that was really good. It was a really good presentation. Oh, yeah. It's still linked to all the places I'm not around for anymore. Or some. All right. That's right. The destruction of America's mental health care system. Thank you. I appreciate that. Really that often, Steph. I find that surprising. Why is that? What usually comes to your mind about COVID that often? I find my mind, you know, if you've ever lost a tooth, well, I guess we all have as kids, right? Your tongue is drawn to it, right? You just, what's this? The ultimate Dungeons and Dragons curse. I curse you to have a piece of popcorn your tongue can find, but your finger can't. It's stuck between your teeth. I find it absolutely fascinating that people just blank out completely on stuff. It's just gone. People don't talk about it. People don't review it. They don't respond to it. Fewer and fewer people, of course, are taking the boosters and the jabs and so on. I think that the injuries from the COVID vax, well, I mean, who knows, right? I mean, VAERS is 3% maybe, and it is horrendous, I think, as a whole. I can't prove it. I don't think anyone can prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt, but all-cause mortality certainly didn't go down. So, and the fact that people just, like, to me, the whole COVID thing was like a portal to hell opened up and people just worshipped the worst in themselves and others. They were slaves to authority. They turned on their fellow citizens. And this portal to hell just opened up. You know, it's one of the reasons why I did not stick with history, and it's one of the reasons I got out of politics. What do we learn? We got the whole example of the 20th century. And what do we learn? What do we learn? Almost nothing. People are as susceptible to groupthink, to turning on their fellow citizens, to slavishly obeying those in authority as when the Milgram experiment came about, as in the Second World War, the First World War, the Franco-Prussian conflict, Western Europe, or in Europe, the Napoleonic Wars, the Protestant Reformation, the indulgences. Like, what have we learned? What have we learned? And I think that's really interesting. And it's not interesting because I think I can change it. I mean, hopefully we can change it to some degree within our own lives and the people that we care about. But you can't change it in any foundational way. I mean, even with, I know that there was a lot of censorship and so on, but even with these amazing technology tools, it was still like 90-10. It was still 90-10. And the 10% of people, maybe a little more depending on where you are, the 10% of people who resisted the propaganda, a lot of them did so for reasons not based upon rational philosophy. They did this for religious reasons or other kinds of reasons, or just, I hate being, F you, I won't do what you tell me, right? So I'm really just, I'm fascinated about how it's just vanished. Steve Kirsch has, I think, helped to fund a new documentary about vaccine injuries that I'll probably check out. But I'm fascinated by how ugly it was, how vicious people were, how much they were just eager to turn. Oh, he's got someone, he's got an extra car in the driveway. Unvaccinated, you know? I'm fascinated, and yeah, it's sort of like when, it would be like if you had shapeshifters, you know, like the David Icke stuff, like if you had shapeshifters and people turned into monsters and then turned back. Wouldn't you think about that quite a lot? Who am I surrounded by? Am I surrounded by people without a conscience? Am I surrounded by people who could just be molded into dangerous weapons against anyone who thinks like that? Wild. So I do find it. There is very little accountability. There is certainly no, I mean, there haven't been any arrests of people who lied. And I know some states are suing pharma companies for misleading advertising, which is, seems to me, pretty thin gruel for everything that happened. But yeah, I read The Monster City on Maple Street. I think that was originally a short story, and I remember reading that, and it was obviously a creepy short story. I like that. People in ancient Rome ordering 5 beers. For those of you who can't see, I'm just making the V for victory sign from Churchill, ordering 5 beers. V is 5, right? I was with some friends playing trivia at a restaurant, and it was like, you know, it was some big complicated number. It's like, how do you write this number in Roman numerals? And it's like, I felt like I could do it. You know, my toxic trait is overconfidence at times. But I thought I could do it. And I could not. I could not. Yeah, the George Floyd case, yeah. I mean, even with the coroner's report, even with 4 different camera angles, even with, you know, blood toxicology report, right? I'm so fascinated by these same things and they're still in my office. It's truly unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, I think what I find fascinating, and I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on this, I think what I find fascinating is, what is it like to be someone who can be switched into turning on your fellow citizens and then just forget it. Forget that it ever happened. Ignore it. Like, what are you talking about? Like, not even bring it up. Like, it never happened. Doesn't exist. I mean, if I had been, I mean, obviously I'm far from a perfect person, but if I had been lured into just turning on my fellow citizens and advocating for lockdowns and this and that and the other, and, you know, there were lots of people who were saying, oh, you can't, don't give health care to the unvaccinated and blah, 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 right? If I had been lured or tricked into that, and then it turned out that I was kind of wrong. I mean, wouldn't you have a reckoning in your conscience? Wouldn't you have a dark midnight of the soul and just have a big old reckoning in your conscience? But it doesn't exist. And I guess I struggle to find what I have in common with that kind of mindset. With people who, oh, the unvaccinated are bad, right? So the government is locking everyone down. Right, COVID didn't do that. The unvaccinated certainly didn't do that. That was the government that did that. So when people just turn on their fellow citizens, and, you know, I mean, a lot of people on the left were like, yep, unvaccinated should be put in camps, and yep, the unvaccinated should have their children taken away, and yep, you should absolutely censor anything that's skeptical of the vaccines or lockdowns, and like, they just were like, phew. You know, like there's that, I don't know, it's a semi-famous meme, somebody from Hogan's Heroes, I think it is, like the fat Nazi, who's like, could we be the bad guys? I mean, do people, thank you, C2, do people think that? Do they wonder that? Does it matter to them? Maybe they're the bad guys. But it doesn't seem to happen, right? They don't seem to think about it. It doesn't seem to be of concern to them. I don't know. If you were tempted into a moral position that quite quickly was revealed as pretty corrupt and indefensible, wouldn't you have some pause, some concern, some worry, some, you know, especially because these are all the parents who are like, they say to their kids, you know, like, peer pressure, don't succumb to peer pressure. I don't know. I'm quite fascinated by what seems to me such a different and alien mindset that I have a tough time figuring out what we have in common. If that makes sense. All right, let me get back to your questions. See if there's anything new. Sapanta says, interesting, I find that's also why I think of it from time to time. Maybe about once every 2 weeks or so. However, to a degree, I also let myself slip into that hell. But instead of inflicting it on others, I took advantage of the crisis and took time off work to smoke a lot of weed, drink a lot of alcohol, and play video games because I was worried and felt unsafe. Okay, well, I mean, it's not great for you, but at least you weren't inflicting it on others, right? You would think you would, but these people have so much emotional what? Emotional... I bet you that was important. They're emotionally dysregulated, that the COVID experience just gave them an outlet to express that dysregulation. Okay. I got it. The show, by the way, is 4403. If you go to fdrpodcast.com, the show is 4403, The Destruction of America's Mental Health Care. People's memory reset phenomenon is quite something. Yeah, it really is. It really is. I mean, it did seem like the flu did kind of vanish, right? It did seem that, for sure. And I don't know what that means, and I don't know that we'll ever know. I mean, maybe some people Right. Some people do now, but... Well, some people think they know, but I don't know, right? Yeah, it's a very different mindset. I mean, yeah, it's just, it's a very different mindset. All right, well, I think I'll stop here. I do appreciate everyone's thoughts and comments. If you're listening to this later, of course, freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. FDRURL.com/locals to subscribe, very much appreciated, or subscribe.com/freedomain to do that. I'm working on the new book. Maybe we'll do a little bit of a video game live stream. It's been a long time since I did that, and I really do appreciate your support. freedomain.com/donate. Don't forget to check out the free books and all of the bonuses and goodies that you get when you subscribe. Lots of love from up here, my friends. Have a beautiful, beautiful evening. I'll talk to you soon.